News now.
WMAL News at 7. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan's hopeful the state can enter into stage one of his three-stage Maryland Strong Roadmap to Recovery plan in early May. Dr. Tom Inglesby is the director of the Center for Health Security at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health.
At this point, for the state to move forward in easing social distancing in a lower risk way, there needs to be a period of declining hospitalization and ICU stays and deaths from COVID in Maryland. There isn't a decline yet, and we need to keep going to get to a point where the numbers are starting to move downward.
Stage one of the recovery plan involves lifting the stay-at-home order and reopening some small businesses. Stage two reopens more businesses and allows non-essential workers who can't telework to return to their jobs. The third stage would allow larger social gatherings and events. Virginia residents will have to wait a while for things to get back to normal.
First, the good news.
Our growth rate is slowing.
But Virginia Governor Ralph Northam says the state is still at least 2 weeks away from allowing non-essential businesses to reopen. The governor has announced a new task force to help advise him on the best way to restart the economy, but says he won't be rushed into opening too soon. Maria Leaf on WMAL and WMAL.com.
People in some states are already getting back to some semblance of normal life. Georgia's governor eased restrictions, allowing some businesses to start reopening yesterday. But many have new restrictions. Shannon Stafford owns New Era Hair Salon.
We're taking temperatures. We have a questionnaire for the client to fill out, along with a assumption of risk and a waiver of liability for them to read over. That's going to be something important, not only for my salon, but a lot of businesses as well who's planning on opening.
Theaters and dine-in restaurants will be allowed to reopen Monday. During the pandemic, we're not only stocking up on food for ourselves, we're also buying food for our companion animals, and online pet retailers are raking in the cash.
Chewy is an online pet supply retailer that sends pet food, cat litter, and other pet supplies directly to pet owners' homes. And the $18 billion company has emerged as one of the biggest economic winners during this lockdown. The company says they're hiring up to 10,000 workers to meet unprecedented demand. Even before the crisis, Chewy reported 13.5 million active customers as of February 2nd. Chewy says some pet owners are panic buying, and there has been an increase in pet adoption since the start of the pandemic that has helped increase demand.
John Stolness on WMAL and WMAL.com.
In sports, Redskins coach Ron Rivera hopes third-round pick Antonio Gibson can fill the Christian McCaffrey role with the Redskins. Washington selected the multi-positional Memphis playmaker last night with the 66th pick in the NFL draft. The Philadelphia Eagles picked Oklahoma quarterback Jalen Hurts in the second round of the draft.
It's all unprecedented where we're in right now, but once it's over, man, I'll just be looking forward to being with him and learning everything and just working.
Traffic and weather next on WMAL.
It's everything you need to know Sundays on WMAL. Starting at 5 a.m., it's VA Sunday Magazine. At 5:30, hear the Chris McKay Show. At 7, it's Heroes Talk Radio with Dave Ahrens. At 8, it's the Eric Stewart Show pointing you home. Hear The Wise Investor at 9. Dr. Tom Rosell Live at 11. Purity Products at 2. Mortgage Radio at 3. Real Estate Today at 7. And at 9 p.m., it's Lawyer in Your Corner with Ryan Wilson on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Please listen. This is important. Anyone can be affected by the prescription opioid crisis. If you think you've been hurt by Purdue or its prescription opioids like OxyContin, you may be entitled to compensation as part of Purdue's bankruptcy, but you have to file a claim. Claims may include overdose, death, substance use disorder, lost wages, and neonatal abstinence syndrome. A confidential claim can be filed by individuals, a legal guardian, by survivors or relatives of people who have died or are disabled. The deadline to file a claim is June 30th, 2020, or you will lose your right to file a claim. For more information, visit PurduePharmaClaims.com, or you can call toll-free 1-844-217-0912. That's 1-844-217-0912. Paid for by Prime Clerk, LLC.
WMAL traffic from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
couple of work zones in Maryland on the Beltway to be aware of. On the outer loop at Colesville Road, look for some road work along the left side of the roadway. And on the outer loop, as you approach the 270 spur, look for some road work in the right lane. In the district, do keep in mind that this weekend, the ramp from northbound DC 295 to westbound Pennsylvania Avenue is closed until 7 o'clock Sunday evening for weekend road work. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Expect mostly cloudy skies on this Saturday. Showers be possible by sunset, highs in the mid-60s. Periods of rain likely tonight, isolated rumble of thunder, heavy at times, lows 47 to 53. For your Sunday morning rain, we'll have some lingering afternoon showers, highs in the low to mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Leggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington Small, WMAL.
Even though COVID-19 poses an unprecedented challenge, you can count on Novec to deliver reliable power and to help in other ways. Novec.com offers tips to save energy while spending more time at home. Novec customers can monitor their energy use online, as well as pay bills through the website or by phone. And anyone can donate to help neighbors in need through Operation Roundup. Novec, power you can count on.
At Whole Foods Market, our mission is to nourish people and the planet, especially now in our communities across the country, which is why we're hiring seasonal and full-time positions with flexible hours. For details, visit wholefoodsmarket.com/careers.
Larry O'Connor here. Should you sell your home now, or will current world news drag down the market? 1 5-minute call with the Reynolds team gives you the facts to make the right decision. Call the Reynolds team at 844-344-SOLD. 844-344-SOLD or online, DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
Everyone's got advice on how to protect your health right now. Hi, I'm Rick Edelman. What I want to do is show you how you can protect your wealth right now for you and your family. First, make sure you have ample cash reserves. This way you won't have to sell investments while prices are down. Second, make sure your portfolio is diversified. Having only a portion of your money in stocks helps reduce your risks. Third, rebalance your portfolio. This lets you turn market volatility to your advantage by buying assets that are suddenly available at lower prices than before. If you are at all concerned about your situation, give us a call here at Edelman Financial Engines. We've been helping our clients get through financial crises for more than 30 years, from the crash of 87 to the dot-com bubble of 2001 to the 08 credit crisis. So call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com. Call us, and call us right now.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM, WMAL.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. It's great to have you with us. And John Gizzi joins us each week to start off the 7 o'clock hour. He is the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
With much speculation about serious health issues that Kim Jong-un is facing, you wrote a detailed article about the fate of Kim Jong-un and the succession question.
This is an important question because North Korea, the hidden kingdom, or the hermit kingdom it is known, the only communist country that never de-Stalinized, it's important that North Korea's leadership be identified and that the Western world has a clue of just where Pyongyang is going and what it's going to do with regard to the United States and, most importantly, with regard to its next-door neighbor, South Korea. This is all a major question mark. In contrast to his grandfather, Kim Il-sung, the first leader of North Korea back in 1945, or his own father, Kim Jong-il, who succeeded the elder Kim in 1994. This Kim, 36 years old, has only two legitimate children we know of, both under the age of 10. His sister, while active in the Communist Party and in what's called the Juche Movement, founded by grandfather Kim, is still not a political power. So it's a question mark. Methinks that the military will have someone emerge who was on good terms with the Kim family, but at least has an idea what the Western world, what the outside world is about. I might add that young Kim, along with knowing President Trump and knowing the Chinese very well, not a well-traveled person, he did not go to see world leaders, and his movements are very minimal. So the next leader, it would seem, would hopefully be somebody who is beyond North Korea and know, at least looks at the net and sees what the world is like.
John, over the past several weeks, there's really been virtually no official word out of North Korea on Kim Jong-un's health. Tell us a little bit about how they operate.
I think you need to reread George Orwell's 1984 and focus on the Ministry of Truth, which told lies all the time. Very much the state-controlled media, tightly controlled in Pyongyang, will put out anything it wants, so that North Koreans in general have no knowledge of their government or of the outside world. This is the system known as Juche, the philosophy founded by the late Kim Il-sung, the first ruler of North Korea, and of course the grandfather of Kim Jong-un. Now, information seeps out every once in a while, primarily through families of defectors. And the defectors from North Korea have a website, and they generally get information that's quite good. 70% of the information they've gotten out of the North has been accurate, including the story that Kim Jong-un's uncle, the brother-in-law of his father, was deposed from his position as military chief of staff and eventually executed by using an anti-aircraft gun on him at close range. Not a pleasant way to die. The exile community knows a lot. The Japanese publication, Tokyo Shimbun, began the reports that Kim was out of sight and did not attend the annual birthday celebration of his grandfather, April 15th. Those are significant factors that have been borne out by events since then. Kim Jong-un has not been seen for nearly a week, and this has sent the speculation flying. Most South Koreans I know who watch the situation closely say that Kim could go any day now if he hasn't already.
John, we typically lead off our Saturday morning get-together with the latest on the coronavirus task force and the president and the politics. This back and forth between President Trump and the media. In the first couple of weeks, it looked like maybe he was winning, but I'm not so sure. I would say he's winning right this minute.
No, I don't think he's winning right this minute. And again, he's taking the banter and the tough questions personally and hitting back hard, sometimes when he doesn't have to. Phil Rucker of the Washington Post hit him hard on a number of key points, just trying to get to the bottom of a Trump statement. The president was rude, he was very harsh, and he came back swinging. I just cite this example because Phil stands out in my mind, but it's happened on too many occasions over the past several weeks. My guess is that the president is going to have to start remembering who he was, that he was the one handling these briefings well, deferring to Vice President Pence or to Dr. Anthony Fauci, and then taking a back seat to the others. When he did that, he was fine. When he used this as a venue for vendetta, he really lost his mojo.
Well, as an example, he had a little problem with that one about injecting disinfectants, and on Friday tried to explain it away that he was being sarcastic and addressing a sarcastic response to the news media, but even the conservative media played the original clip, and it's a stretch to say it was sarcastic and addressed at the media. So where does that one end up? Is that going to damage him?
Well, to a number of us who try to be fair to the president and to the Coronavirus Commission, this was one more case of Lucy with the football. that I'm sure many of us remember from the Peanuts comic strip, when she would try to get Charlie Brown to kick a football, pull it out of the way, and Charlie Brown would fall. So it is with Trump and his explanations about using sarcasm. I can remember when he made a speech to police officers and said, and I'm paraphrasing, that when you bring someone in and you lock them up to bring them downtown and you put them in the back of the wagon, if you happen to bump their heads or don't push their heads down too far, don't worry. I'll back you up on it. In other words, he was suggesting roughing up prisoners. And I can tell you a number of people, including my friend Bob Vernon, former assistant chief of the Los Angeles Police Department and a Trump supporter, voiced objections about this because the president did not really remember his role as commander-in-chief and as the symbol of law enforcement and obeying the law in the United States. For cops, that was a no-no. And the explanation from then White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders was, he said this in jest. It was sarcasm. His brand of sarcasm, well, it's not connecting with the public. Perhaps, Mr. President, you should just consider trying to be serious.
And then on the other side of the coin, we got to remember, he grew up as a businessman, as an entrepreneur, as the P.T. Barnum of New York real estate and success, hosted a reality show on television, and then at the age of 72, all of a sudden, he's got a new job that's absolutely 180 degrees from anything he's done in his life. And, you know, he's kind of, you know, what you see is what you get. He just shoots from the hip, and I don't think he has been able to make that transition from TV reality show star over to president in terms of political correctness. And also, it could be said that a lot of people love that. So it is what it is.
It is what it is. And I also realize people in their 70s don't change that much. One is set in his ways. On the other hand, there is a language and a demeanor for the presidency that somehow requires one to put a little screen in front of remarks and say it softly. And certainly we could learn that from the person who, until Donald Trump came along, was the oldest president in history, Ronald Reagan.
The news media has covered the impact of coronavirus so much on the business community, the travel industry, our own social lives. But you wrote a story that I hadn't seen covered. Headline, donations down in two-thirds of U.S. churches due to COVID-19. So it's having an impact on the religious community.
It certainly is. I had a long and very sober talk with Brian Cluth, public relations man for the National Council of Evangelicals, and the person who oversees their annual report on church donations in all faiths. The state of the plate is what it's called, and the state of the plate is very, very bad right now. 65% of churches of all denominations, that's right, two-thirds of the houses of worship, reported that their donations have dropped since the end of March. I might add that the largest single group saw 50% of their donations drop. And this is quite a contrast from 2008 and 2009, when the United States was hit by the Wall Street collapse that took a while to bounce back. At that time, 37% of churches, according to the state of the plate, had their donations drop, but another 35% had them go up. This is something that's the result, of course, of people losing their jobs, of investments that have gone sour, and of not having the money to donate to the house of worship after one has taken care of his or her own household needs. Where is it going to go? Well, when the United States recovers from the coronavirus crisis, Mr. Kluth said, people will go back to giving to church. At the same time, there's another development we don't really notice, and that is that church worship online has doubled, tripled, and in some places, quintupled. In other words, people are going to church virtually more than they were before in person. This may mean a new way to contribute online to churches, but it certainly means the churches are going to have to make some changes to maintain the funds they need to spread the word of God to the faithful.
When you go to church online, you don't have that collection plate coming down the pew next to you.
Mm-hmm. This is something they're going to have to work on.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. John, thank you very much, and you can follow John's tweets over the weekend at John Gizzi on Twitter. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Rick. Always a pleasure.
7:21 Saturday morning updates. WMAL, Cheryl Atkinson, Tony Schaefer, and KT McFarland are coming up, but right now, Michelle Murray's got the latest from the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia on 95 in Newington, southbound just after the Fairfax County Parkway, a disabled vehicle in the left lane in the process of being cleared over to the left shoulder, not causing any delays. Now, in Virginia this weekend, there is a road widening project taking place on 66 inside the Beltway, and that will affect the roadway eastbound between the Dulles Connector Road and Washington Boulevard, where the roadway is reduced to one lane, and that continues from Washington Boulevard towards Sycamore Street. Traveling the Beltway in Maryland on the outer loop at Colesville Road, look for some road work along the left side. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Plenty of clouds on this Saturday. We will see some showers possible by sunset. Dry for the majority of the day, though, highs in the mid-60s. Periods of rain become likely tonight. Isolated rumble of thunder, lows in the 40s to lower 50s. For your Sunday morning rain, some lingering afternoon showers, highs in the low to mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
46 degrees in Washington, 7:22, the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Cheryl Atkinson joins us. She is, of course, a New York Times best-selling author, and she is the host of Full Measure. That's tomorrow morning, ABC 7 at 10 o'clock. Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you have a new book coming out. We're going to talk about that in just a second because I think it's really important this day and age with the way the media is going. But I wanted to talk about a story you have on Full Measure tomorrow. Tell us about the mayor of Miami, what he's gone through, and what he's doing now.
Well, he was one of the first highly public officials that we knew of who got coronavirus after a visit with some Brazil dignitaries who tested positive. And so he was tested, and he isolated for something like 18 days, although he says he never felt very sick. But once he was better, he got a call or a contact, maybe it was through social media, from the family of a very ill elderly gentleman in Florida who had coronavirus. And the family said, your blood now has life-saving properties in it, and you're eligible to donate for something called convalescent plasma therapy. And he became the mayor, the first Florida donor for this experimental FDA approved program to see if blood from these recovered coronavirus patients can be transplanted or put into sick patients to help them recover. So we'll talk with him on Full Measure about that whole process.
And the fact that, you know, the mayor of Miami contracted the virus early on, that was very early in this, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And, you know, I learned that this is something, it's not a new concept. They have supposedly used this kind of therapy with viruses in the past. Maybe it's not wildly successful because we haven't heard too much about it, but they've used it in Ebola and they've used it with some other things, and they're hoping that if it works here, it could be a really good therapy. So across the country, if you need to find out more about it, you can ask hospital, your doctor, or you can go to FDA.gov and look up convalescent plasma therapy.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about it in the media stories, of course, about coronavirus. So it'll be interesting to see your story tomorrow with the mayor of Miami, Francis Suarez. A story that's not really gone away, but it has gone to the back burner, and that is the whole investigation into President Trump and the supposed Russia connection. And you have a story tomorrow. You're talking with Senator Ron Johnson. And what are you finding out from him in terms of all of the intelligence leaks that have been aimed at President Trump?
Well, he's head of the Homeland Security Committee in the Senate. So this is his area of interest. And like a lot of other people, he noticed that when Trump became president, there were a lot of leaks from the intelligence community coming out that appear to be designed to harm, humiliate, and perhaps hurt the sitting president of the United States. And, you know, as a journalist, I like a good leak, meaning if I find out something's going on in the government that the public ought to know about, I like to talk to a whistleblower. I like to, you know, hear from a leaker. But too often these leaks are false information, or they're information that's not proven to be in the proper context so that we're getting the truth about some issue. And so Senator Ron Johnson tried to do an investigation, ended up really having some staffers go through clippings to see how common intelligence leaks were under prior presidents versus President Trump. And it's pretty astonishing, the count of these intelligence leaks that happened specifically against Trump compared to prior administrations. But I think even more interesting, perhaps, is Senator Johnson's going to tell us what happened when he tried to get somebody to look into it, namely the Intelligence Community Inspector General, who ought to care about improper leaks coming from inside the intelligence community. But according to Johnson, that Inspector General really threw up roadblocks.
And that's tomorrow morning on Full Measure, 10 o'clock on ABC 7. And your new book, Slanted, How the News Media Taught Us to Love Censorship and Hate Journalism. Wow, that's quite a title. And that follows Stonewalled and The Smear. So tell us about kind of the relationship of the new book to what your works have been so far.
I think of them now as sort of a trilogy. The new book will be out late November, but it continues to follow the devolution of what I call the news as we once knew it. There's still great reporting, great reporters out there, of course, but I think they're getting harder to find. They're finding it harder to get their good material on the air unless it's of a certain nature or biased and slanted in a certain direction. And I'm particularly concerned about what we're seeing unfold, you know, day by day, which is the effort by so many different people to use the news media, social media, Wikipedia, Google, Facebook, Twitter to censor and shape and stop us from learning about certain information that powerful interests don't want us to learn about. These fact checks that are actually one-sided attempts to make sure we can't find the facts when they differ with something that certain interests want us to believe. I think this is a really dangerous movement that started around 2016. People are growing used to it. People have even gotten where they invite fact checks because I think in some cases they don't fully understand what's behind them. I mean, a great accurate fact check to the extent it's possible, it's not always possible because information may be developing or unknown, but to the extent it's possible, fact checking can be good. But this process has been too co-opted by people who want to control what we know and what we hear about and what we can find on the internet. And so I think that's something we really need to examine and look at.
Well, it is Slanted. It's coming out late November. You can pre-order it now at Amazon.com, HarperCollins, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, or just among the bookshops. So looking forward to that. And Cheryl, thank you very, very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
7:28, this is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. It's great to have you along with us. We're going to break for the 7:30 news. Then we've got Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland coming up. And more on that story floating around about the health of Kim Jong-un is on the way.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
At Hadid Rug and Carpet Cleaning Service, we understand these are uncertain times. But Joe Hadid wants you to know we are open and ready to serve our customers and our community. And keeping you safe is our top priority. So we're adhering to rigorous health and safety protocols, allowing us to continue to keep your rugs clean and safe from dirt, allergens, and bacteria. Because we know how important a clean rug is to the health and safety of your home. Right now, Joe is offering 50% off his sanitize and disinfectant treatment. He's also extended the a 3-for-2 special. For every two rugs you have cleaned, get the third rug cleaned free. Joe has also added his curbside pickup and delivery service. Leave your rugs out front and we'll come by and pick them up and drop them off absolutely free. Hey, we're all in this together. So remember, a clean home is a healthy home. Call today or go online and schedule your next pickup at JoeHadid.com. That's JoeHadid.com.
For all your Oriental rug cleaning needs, just one call to Joe Hadid.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. We're learning more about local plans to get back to business. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam released his Forward Virginia blueprint yesterday. It's a phased approach to reopening, which he hopes can start May 8th at the earliest.
When we see these metrics I've just outlined, fewer positive cases, more testing and tracing, more PPE, and steady use of hospital beds, then we can move to phase one of easing these restrictions.
Phase one will allow some non-essential businesses to reopen with regulations to keep people safe. Social distancing would continue along with telework. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan talked about the three stages of his Maryland Strong Roadmap to Recovery plan yesterday.
Stage one would begin by lifting the stay-at-home order, and it would include the reopening of many of our small businesses. We would be able to restart many of our lower-risk community activities and quality of life improvements.
He says if people keep staying home, he hopes we can enter stage one early next month. In sports, Redskins coach Ron Rivera hopes third-round pick Antonio Gibson can fill the Christian McCaffrey role with the Skins. Washington selected the multi-positional Memphis player last night with the 66th pick in the NFL draft. And Gaithersburg native Trevon Diggs was selected 51st in the draft by the Dallas Cowboys. Traffic and weather next on WMAL.
Taxes, taxes, taxes. They shouldn't be the driver behind your investment decisions, but tax efficiency could make a big difference in what you owe Uncle Sam. Hi, this is Greg Smith, co-host of WML's Wise Investor Show, reminding you that your financial advisor can help you make sure that your portfolio is tax smart and in line with your goals.
Greg Smith and the Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company. To reach Greg, call 1-866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed Wise Investor.
Mervis Diamond salutes our nurses fighting COVID-19 by offering Psalm 91 bangles, saving us from harm. All income from silver bangles engraved, 91 is greater than 19, will go to American nurses. Your bangle is just $91 at MervisDiamond.com.
Select Auto Imports would like to express our deep gratitude to our hero first responders and healthcare workers who are working hard to defeat COVID-19. Select Auto Imports would like to welcome you to the future of car buying from the comfort of your own home. Visit our express store and handle all aspects of your purchase online at selectautoimports.com and we'll deliver your new car to your home. Selectautoimports.com for the best selection of certified pre-owned luxury vehicles.
Social distancing slows the spread of coronavirus, so we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. More info at coronavirus.gov. Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
WMAL traffic from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In the district, do keep in mind some road work this weekend affecting 295. The ramp from northbound DC 295 to westbound Pennsylvania Avenue will be closed until about 7 o'clock Sunday evening for this weekend road work. Also keep in mind there is a road widening project taking place on 66 inside the Beltway in Falls Church and Arlington eastbound between the Connector Road and Washington Boulevard and continuing towards Sycamore Street. The roadway will be reduced to one lane. No issues on 66, though, from the Beltway all the way out towards Centerville. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Plenty of clouds on this Saturday. We will see some showers possible by sunset. Otherwise dry today, highs in the mid-60s. Periods of rain likely overnight, heavy at times, even an isolated rumble of thunder, lows in the upper 40s to lower 50s. Highs tomorrow in the low to mid 60s, some morning rain likely, lingering afternoon showers. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
At the Roselle Center for Healing, we care about your health and want to help you take your health in a new direction, far from drugs and surgery. Knowledge is the key to optimal wellness and control of your health. We offer free health education on chronic health conditions and natural integrative medicine treatments. Register for free today.
Join us online for our virtual presentation on pain management and acupuncture on Wednesday, May 6th. Register today by calling 703-698-7117 or visit RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com.
This is Dr. Tom Roselle. After 43 years of practice and over a million patient visits, the Roselle Center for Healing knows what works and knows how you can take control of your health and wellness. My team of doctors practice 21st century integrative medicine. Whether you suffer from chronic pain and fatigue, allergies or headaches, we can help. Take charge of your health before it's too late. Make an appointment today. Call 703-698-7117 or visit online at RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 200 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus from wherever you are on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, text LESSON to 35517. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates and why 88% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU Online degrees, text LESSON to 35517. That's LESSON to 35517.
Don't miss the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WMAL. Learn how you can earn a full-time income as a short-term trader. That's the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. The question line is 888-646-8787.
It's the time of year to start thinking about your lawn. There are changes to Montgomery County's pesticide law to protect your family, pets, pollinators, and environment. Only organic pesticides can be used. Most weed and feed products and other synthetic pesticides and herbicides are banned. Look for signage in stores in the county selling lawn care products to help identify legal organic products. Learn more at montgomerycountymd.gov/lawns.
.37 This is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer joins us. He is the author of Operation Dark Heart. Tony, good morning.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me. Good to be on, as always.
Thank you. You know, it's funny. The name Christopher Steele still pops up in the news. You got to be kidding me. All right. Christopher Steele, of course, you know, the British guy behind the dossier, the Trump whole thing. Christopher Steele told a British court that he no longer has his key documents related to the dossier. He said in a deposition the email accounts were wiped. Come on.
Yeah, it's the dog ate my homework excuse. It's completely unhinged. And frankly, the British have a lot of reasons to want this to go away. And I've spoken to intelligence professionals on their side. This is a huge embarrassment. And I think this, if nothing else, this is another really like, are you kidding me? This is supposed to have been one of their frontline MI6, which is the British equivalent to our CIA, one of their MI6 operatives who essentially was running source operations for Her Majesty's Secret Service, so to speak. And now when there's been years of intention, I mean, remember, this has been going on for years. And even at the time, and he's saying this was deleted, I think, in January of 17, you know, oh, we wiped this. There's absolutely no way. Even if the email accounts themselves were somehow deleted, there's a record of it somewhere. You know, there's records of records. So this is science fiction. And I think it's just one more indication of how badly Christopher Steele does not want to talk about this. And I do believe in those notes, what he's trying to cover up and what everybody does not want to see, especially the Senate Republicans and who did this continuation of the report on Russia collusion, is the subsources, which we're pretty sure, based on everything we've read on our side, indicate Steele was in contact with Russian intelligence officers. Those intelligence officers were feeding him disinformation. And that disinformation then was paid for, ironically enough, by Hillary Clinton, the Democrats, went through Fusion GPS, you know, like heroin into the veins, into the FBI. And that's what we know happened on this. So Steele trying to say this and trying to hide all this is not a surprise based on what we know about what happened here with that information.
And I know the story said it's not clear if Steele deleted the accounts himself. Wouldn't you think he'd have a pretty good antivirus program on his computer based on his job?
Well, of course. And these sorts of things are redundant. I mean, a good asset's going to be able to put together a series of caches, if you will, to maintain the information. And remember, Rick, this was also then forwarded to others. And one of my criticisms of Comey and the FBI on this, and I know this from having been involved in these sorts of operations, you always validate and vet your information with second and third sources, which can corroborate it before you use it. So the FBI had to have a good amount of this, I think. And this is where, you know, we don't know how completely insane Comey and the agents were on this. But theoretically, all that would have been forwarded in some form and maintained. So it is truly science fiction.
Story this week in the Daily Caller, and it talks about exculpatory evidence regarding George Papadopoulos.
Yeah.
Explicitly omitted from FISA warrant applications.
Right. So Stephen Halper, the still unexplained asset that worked at the Pentagon for an office, something called the Office of Net Assessment. This guy was paid tens of thousands of dollars to essentially be an FBI asset. During his contacts, Rick, with George, on several occasions, Papadopoulos said, you know, we don't know what the heck's going on with the Hillary Clinton email. And this was obviously surreptitiously taped. So there's a couple of things that need to be explained here. How was the Pentagon, a guy who was being paid by the Pentagon, allowed to work for the FBI as an undercover asset against a U.S. citizen who had otherwise done nothing wrong? That's very troubling. And secondly, why wasn't the information regarding this clandestine wiretap, which was exculpatory, shared as part of Comey's approved packages going to the FISA court? This is all very problematic, and obviously this is reflective of the footnotes in the Horowitz DOJ IG report. So this is all hugely troubling. Everything we've talked about so far this morning, Rick, indicates to me that, again, that there was a purposeful misuse of information to achieve specific political objectives. Things like this don't happen as accidents, especially when you have serial accidents. All the accidents lean one way, and that's exactly what we see here with the Papadopoulos exculpatory information being left out of the FISA warrant.
I want to turn to the impact of coronavirus on military families.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've seen how it's affected so many small business people, but nobody talks about the families of the military. What are you seeing there?
So a lot of the families are being helped by a number of organizations. I know the USO and others are trying their best to help. A number of veterans organizations are out trying to make sure that families are addressed. And I think there's a lot of things going on behind the scene. You know, I live near Fort Belvoir, so I'm always out there. And I know military facilities are still very much open, very much available for military members to go. Any given day, you see a great deal of activity. And I do believe that while I've seen heightened security in military facilities, they've still been very much open and supportive of military families. So I think like everyone else, they're doing their best to maintain contact with a larger community. And there's a lot of organizations out there trying to help those families. So I think it's going pretty good, everything I've seen.
And then also the response of the National Guard. I mean, it's been a huge response. And, you know, kind of your assessment, I believe at least 43,700 troops mobilized, 82% on Title 32 orders. And explain what that means.
Right. So every state has the National Guard units, which are assigned, created out of the state, and are assigned primarily to support state requirements. They do everything from move water, you know, and circumstances relating to civil unrest, to riot control and things like that. So the Guard has been very effective in helping prepare local responses. And Title 32 essentially is the authority given to governors to activate these units. Essentially, it's they can be federalized. The National Guard is technically still a component of the Army Reserve, but in this case, they've been very effective. And I can say for a fact, based on my direct meetings at the Pentagon early on, the Guard was being activated in February, long before people started recognizing the problems. And I think this is another thing which has been underreported. I think at the time it was necessary not to panic people, but the Guard was being prepared for an effective response as early as February. And so what you've seen is a seamless use of these folks coming in to essentially augment local health authorities and security authorities across the board. And this is one of those areas London Center is going to be doing a review of a lot of issues after the pandemic kind of winds down. And I think this is one of the good news stories that will be available to be told about the response.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, as always, thank you very much for your insight. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me. Take care.
You betcha. 7:45 Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. We'll talk to KT McFarland next, but right now, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Maryland on 270 southbound between 118 and 370, look for some road work along the right lane, but so far no delays there. On the outer loop at Colesville Road, construction there in the left lane, and then on the outer loop approaching the spur, you will find some construction in the right lane. Again, that is not causing any delays. If you're traveling in Virginia on 66 inside the Beltway, keep in mind they're doing some road widening this weekend eastbound between the Connector Road and Washington Boulevard, where the roadway is reduced to one lane, and that continues towards Sycamore Street. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Plenty of clouds on this Saturday. We will see some showers possible by sunset. Dry for the majority of the day, though, highs in the mid-60s. Periods of rain become likely tonight. Isolated rumble of thunder, lows in the 40s to lower 50s. For your Sunday morning rain, some lingering afternoon showers, highs in the low to mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
It's 46 degrees, 7:46, Saturday Morning Update.
During the COVID-19 crisis, Cascade Center for Dental Health needs to share some important information. Though we feel that every dental visit is important, we understand that the health and well-being of everyone depends on following the CDC's safety rules. We also feel that the right personal protective equipment should be reserved for use in hospitals, so conserving them for the right dental purposes is crucial. So Cascade Center for Dental Health appointments for elective exams, cleanings, x-rays, whitening, and other minor procedures are postponed until further notice. But we also know that there are patients that have a need for essential care that can't wait. Anything causing you pain in a tooth, your teeth, or jawbone, any gum swelling, infections, or broken teeth should be taken care of. We are available if needed and can advise you safely with a teledental session to put your mind at ease. For information about emergency care, go to CascadesDental.com or call 866-25-SLEEP. And please, stay safe.
Don't miss the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WMAL. Learn how you can earn a full-time income as a short-term trader. That's the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. The question line is 888-646-8787.
Right now, Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies are supporting the heroic efforts of our healthcare partners on the front line of this unprecedented fight, helping doctors and hospitals get the resources they need, ensuring patients don't have to worry about costs, and making access to prescription drugs easier. Caring when it counts the most for the health of America. The Blue Cross Blue Shield Association is an association of independent, locally operated Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies. Waiving copays excludes frivolous salute.
For the ones we trust to always be there. For the ones caring for others. For the ones who keep things going, no matter where they are. In extraordinary times, extraordinary people step up, like the ones standing guard and standing on the front lines. And the ones who are staying apart while still working together. With your efforts, we will get through this. We're grateful for everything you do, and we'll always be here to help you do it. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor. You know, we've been spending a lot of time at home these days, and at Renter's Warehouse, that reminds us just how important home is. Home is a place of stability. It's where our families are, where the heart is, and where our futures lie. Renter's Warehouse is here to listen, consult, and ease your stress. From video conferencing to virtual tours, they've got people and resources to manage and market your property right now while still putting safety first. Listen, they know how important home is. And as we look toward the future, don't wait and don't worry. Go to rwdcnova.com. That's rwdcnova.com today and take advantage of the free resources they've got on their site or call them 202-625-4370. That's 202-625-4370. Trust me, Renter's Warehouse makes it so easy. They're the experts you want on your side. Renter's Warehouse, you'll always have a home with us.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
7:50 Saturday morning update, WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. KT McFarland joins us. She is the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People, and she is the former Deputy National Security Advisor in the Trump administration. Good morning, KT.
Good morning.
And I see President Trump is doing book reviews these days.
Yes, not only did he take it, when I gave it to him, did he take a picture of it with the two of us, but he also tweeted it out last week saying
that's
that
great.
You must get it. It's a bestseller, and I'm really very happy that he said that. And I know because I've gotten phone calls from a number of people in the West Wing that they have all read it too. A lot of people are reading it, and
that's great.
I think it's great. So I'm
Last time I checked on Twitter, it had 52,000 likes, as the president called it. Great new book out by KT McFarland. And he says, get your copy today. So that's pretty pretty impressive.
Something during lockdown. You might as well read my book.
There you go. I wanted to talk to you about Iran, for starters. They had their gunboats surrounding some of our vessels, and the president was a little upset about that and made some orders to basically blow them out of the water if they give us a hard time. What is Iran up to?
Well, they're desperate. I mean, the country is really, I think, in a pre-revolutionary situation. Their mullahs are trying to distract attention from their failing economy. I mean, it's almost as bad as Venezuela. And the coronavirus, which has ravaged through Iran, Iran has a very poor public health system to start with. And because they have no income, I mean, their one thing that they sell to the world is oil, and the price of oil is now, below zero in some cases. And because of the sanctions, they're not even selling their oil. So they're really just completely, they're not meeting payroll. And the public increasingly demonstrating and everything else. So I thought Trump's response was brilliant. His suggestion that we have intelligence of a surprise attack, and that's got to get the Iranian military already in confusion because of the Soleimani death a couple months ago. They got to scramble to figure out, well, who's leaking? Who can they trust? And then by putting the shot across the bow to Iran saying, you attack us first, we'll respond, he's made it their fault. So, it's almost like, oh, well, if you make me do it. But they've now gotten warning, fair warning, and if they do something, they can hardly complain that the Americans are the aggressors. But I thought what was actually brilliant about it, and Trump is quite good at this, where he knows that what thing he does with one country has an effect on another country. The Chinese are watching. And so the Chinese have increasingly become more aggressive in the South China Sea. They moved some ships into contested waters with Malaysia. And by doing what Trump did with Iran, and he at the same time sent three U.S. warships into the same region of these contested waters, he let the Chinese know, look, we can chew gum and walk at the same time. Don't think we're so completely distracted and dysfunctional by the coronavirus that we can't protect the freedom of seas. And so the Chinese reaction, just even yesterday, was to kind of slink away. So I thought it was a very well-handled foreign policy move that not very many people noticed. So you're good to ask.
Joe Biden has been taking shots at President Trump about China. Now, I wanted to know what you inherited from the Obama administration when it comes to China. The Secretary of State blasted the Obama-Biden administration for being, quote, wildly soft on China. What did you see when you came in?
Well, not only soft, appeasing. Look, no American president has stood up to China, Republican or Democrat, but the Obama administration, particularly Biden himself, they completely rolled over. I mean, I think he's very vulnerable on the China issue, and I think China will become a big election issue. Biden's vulnerable for the corruption because his son, Hunter, went on Air Force Two with his father to China and then met there with Chinese investors. The son came home with $1 billion in contracts. Now, that looks like corruption to me. The other thing is that Biden himself, just a couple of months ago, he scoffed at the idea that China was a threat. He said, hey, come on, China, they're good guys. This is China, they're not a threat. Well, I think that Biden is very vulnerable on the issue, and he ought to be, because China not only will be a campaign issue, but I think it's really, in a lot of ways, well, it'll definitely be the most important foreign policy issue we face, but it really is an existential crisis to America's existence as a world leader, because China wants to replace us as the dominant world power, and then it will rewrite the rules of order to our disadvantage and to their disadvantage, and then China will dominate the world, not just for a couple of years or a couple of decades. They plan to dominate it for centuries.
Well, you talk a lot about China in your book, and I think it's somewhat prophetic in terms of what you have put in the book and what is actually playing out.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, I wrote a lot about how China planned to replace the U.S., and they planned to rewrite the international rules of order, but they thought that they could get there maybe by mid-century. They feel that it is their rightful place to be the center of the universe. They were for thousands of years in Asia. They think it's their because they're a large country, because they're an organized country, because they're an authoritarian country. They think that they will again be dominating the world, and all other countries, including, in fact, the U.S., will be their vassals. They intend to be the new Roman Empire for a couple of reasons. They're building a Eurasian trade route now with what's called a new One Belt, One Road. It's a new Silk Road. And they're building a maritime trade route connecting Europe, Middle East, Africa, South Asia to China. They're building a G5 network, which will lay the infrastructure for the Internet of the future. And they've got a Made in China 2025 plan, which is to dominate and control, however they can, beg, borrow, steal, or buy, the 10 critical technologies of the future. So all of those things together, they're going to dominate all trade. They're going to dominate our communication system and our technologies. That's where China thought they would be by mid-century. But the coronavirus has really accelerated their plans. I mean, however you think it started, whether in a lab or a wet market, by accident, by design, the Chinese have used the coronavirus as a bioweapon on the world, especially on the U.S. and Europe. Once they knew they had a problem, Rick, in December, they locked down Wuhan to travel within China. So you couldn't leave Wuhan and go into other parts of China or other parts of China into Wuhan. But they allowed international travel. So you could be in Wuhan and you could travel to Europe, to the United States. They sent thousands of potentially infected people all over the world. At the same time, they knew they had a problem. They cornered the market on medical supplies, masks, test kits. And now that they've announced there's a problem, everybody in the world knows there's a problem, they'll sell those test kits and medical supplies at 10 times markup to any country that praises them. By the way, a lot of them have turned out to be defective. But you have to praise them if you're going to have access to that stuff. They threaten to cut off medicines because they make all the pharmaceuticals in the world to countries that do not praise them. I mean, I've even talked to one high official who said that they threatened to stop penicillin shipments to the United States if we badmouthed them. I mean, they plan for us now to be devastated economically and politically, and they're already starting to buy up British, German, U.S. tech companies at fire sale prices. I mean, I wrote about it not with the coronavirus in mind, but that this was the Chinese plan by mid-century. They plan to get there at the end of the coronavirus crisis, like 2 or 3 years from now. They plan to get there then, and that's pretty devastating. We don't have much time to fix this.
Once again, K.T. McFarland, and congratulations on the success of the book. I know it's a bestseller on a number of the lists, including Amazon, and it's Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. And I know you outline a lot of the Trump foreign policy in the book, so I would encourage folks that have some time on their hands this weekend, you can go to Amazon, get the Kindle book right away, and get right on it. K.T., thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's going to wrap it up for the Saturday Morning Update. Thank you very much for being with us here on WMAL. Garden Sense follows the news at 8.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.